The following audio is from All Saints Church. For more information about the church, please visit our website at allsaintsgb.org.
But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. God, we thank you for your word. Heard the words being shouted from the office just off our kitchen, and they were this: I am blowing up! After reposting an NFL playoff clip on Instagram, my oldest son, hidden in our home office, started shouting crazy. This is crazy! I am him! For a brief moment, my son was him, as his online profile and post was seen and commented or liked by not just a few hundred online audience members. No. My son, in his repost, had 3.5 million viewers. His increase in fleeting fame led him to shout from that office, I could make a living off of this. And here's the sad reality. Many of us do. We make a living motivated by the need to be seen and approved of, to be given the thumbs up approval from our dad or our mom, or our friends, or our coworkers, or our congregation from the watching world, to be rewarded with their approvals with a satisfying sense in ourselves of righteousness, to be seen as him or her. These rewards, these thumbs up, they're powerful motivators. We work hard in our jobs to be given that promotion. We play hard to beat our personal record and be given that promotion. Might we even worship or preach or pray hard to be seen as right or righteous, all the while refusing the one reward which holds any power or purpose. It's not the praise of people, but the love of a Father who's in heaven. Jesus says in verse 1 of today's passage, beware, beware, warning. Do not practice your righteousness, your relationship with God in front of people to be seen by them. For surely then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Just to set the stage, the context, just prior to this passage, Jesus is calling his disciples to a righteousness with regard to the law that walks the line of love. And Jesus raised the line as to what loving God and loving neighbor really looks like. He says, your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees and the scribes. You must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It is a shocking statement indeed, because the Pharisees, as I'll call them, and the scribe-to-be-like-me's were setting the bar of publicly rewarded righteousness. Their righteousness, friends, their approval ratings were through the roof. They were fasting twice a week instead of the prescribed once a year. They were holding 24-hour telethons of prayer from the park platforms. They were filling the offering jar with the clanging of coins. Woo! But Jesus says the Father in heaven watching from the throne room of God is not impressed. He's not making any sound. Why? Because the Father's able to see. He's able to see what's behind the scenes, what's behind the curtain of their public stage and performance. It's a show. It's a religious show. It is a self-righteous act. They are not worshiping God. They are worshiping themselves. And instead then, Jesus prescribes to his disciples who are sitting in front of him the hidden life. The life lived under the watch of only one eye. To summarize what Jesus preaches in Matthew 6, it would be this. Your Father in heaven sees everything you've ever done. Hide away all your rewards in his audience of one. Your Father in heaven sees everything you've ever done. So hide away all your rewards in his audience of one. Rewards are a difficult topic for most gospel-believing churchgoers. When we hear the word reward, we think we have to work for it. And doesn't that go against the good news of the gospel of undeserved grace and mercy? What's this reward stuff? But Jesus, 7 times in this passage, mentions rewards as a motivator. The question is not, are rewards good or bad? Clearly in this passage, there's good coming with a reward from a Father in heaven. The question Jesus is asking is, what is your reward? What are you looking to be rewarded with? Is it found in the public applause? Or is it found in the heavenward hidden life? The reward of living for 3.5 million people that are here today and gone tomorrow? Or the reward of living for an eternal audience of one? A Father who sees and rewards the hidden things of heaven. 3 things that Jesus illustrates. Because these, friends, were the 3 marks of a devoutly religious Jew: fasting, prayer, and giving. Jesus doesn't throw these practices out. Instead, what he does is he hides them. What does Jesus say the Father sees and rewards? First, he sees and rewards quiet care. Next, he sees and rewards private, practical prayer. And finally, he sees and rewards clean hands and hair. So first, the Father sees and rewards quiet care. Look with me at verses 2 to 4. Jesus says, whenever you give to the needy, whenever you practice charitable giving, this word can be understood to mean any attempt at providing help to someone in need. That could be financially, it could be physically, it could be spiritually. It's not just giving money. Do not sound a trumpet ahead of you as the hypocrites do. That word hypocrites is another word for actor. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues, in the religious places, and in the street, so that they may be praised by men, by the audience that's watching. He says, truly I say to you, they have their reward. But when you're practicing your charitable giving, when you're giving to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving is hidden. And your Father, the one who sees in the hidden places, will reward you. We get more understanding a little bit into the reward system Jesus is talking about. These rewards are personal. They're relational rewards. Actors in Jesus' day in Greek culture were known for wearing theatrical masks. That's what the word hypocrite means, behind the mask. And they were known for gallivanting around wearing these masks that had a smile on the front of them, but behind them had a frown. What was on the outside wasn't matching what was behind the mask. And they were gallivanting around the church, looking for the reward of people's applause when they do something to help someone else. And Jesus is clear in verse 1 that any motivation for that reward completely negates the reward of heaven. Completely. There's no reward from heaven if your motivation is to get an applause from earth. Instead, what Jesus calls for is helping others in quiet care, not announcing the help, hiding it from others, and even hiding it from yourself. Thus, the not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You might chuckle at the sound of the trumpet Jesus is saying, describing and making an announcement of sacrifice. But friends, our trumpets can actually be, I won't pull it up, but they can be muted. We're still blowing that trumpet, but we'll throw a mute in it and we'll call it a humble brag, right? We'll be sort of subtle about our righteousness. We'll drop little hints of our service record or what we did today. Even as a parent, as a mom or a dad or a coworker, we'll drop little hints. And dropping little hints even of our service record to others, for others to applaud, even golf clap, heaven goes silent. One author writes, this was a sobering thing I read this week. If you are seeking a reward from men, you will get it, but that's all you will get. He says, work through your religious life. Think of all the good you've done in the past in light of that. Your motivations, why you did these good things. How much remains to come to you from God if you really think about why you did it? Oh, so many songs that I've sung, so many sermons that I have preached that are falling on a deaf father's ear because I was looking for the praise of man. Just finished our taxes last weekend. I'm always convicted by what happens in my heart when I do taxes and I get to that deductible, charitable giving portion of taxes. My right hand on the TurboTax website is typing while talking to my left hand, way to go! Let's add another line of ministry that you've contributed to. You sure are a model of generosity. Reward in heaven negated. What if next year I chose not to even report it, believing that heaven sees it even if the IRS and even my typing hands don't? That's the hidden life. That is the hidden life. Where might the Spirit of God be leading you into the discipline of quiet care? Where you said, well, where did I serve you, Lord? You don't even know the answer to the question. He said, what you did to the least of me, you did to me. Oh, I didn't even know. Loving out of the limelight, hidden, like Jesus, who after heaven's healing of the blind, the lame, the deaf, the mute, said to most of those people, don't broadcast this to anyone. It wasn't because he was ashamed of the miracle. It was because he was hiding his reward in heaven. The Father sees and rewards quiet care, and he also sees and rewards private, practical prayer. Look at the two negative examples Jesus gives in verses 5 and 7. Do not be like the actors, the hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogues and the street corners praying that they may be seen by the audience. And when you pray, second warning, don't babble repetitiously like the pagans, like you see in the Old Testament passage, for they think because of their many words they'll be heard. Rewards again, Jesus says, the temporary praise of man, that's all they're going to get. But look at what Jesus encourages his disciples and us to practice and believe about prayer. Whenever you pray, go into your room. That room in the Greek is actually the inner room. It's not just a room, it's the inner room. The room in a house that didn't have any windows. And then close the door. Then pray. Why? Because these are the prayers that the Father sees and hears. The prayers that look like heaven, hidden, tucked away between you and me and you and me alone, Father. Instead of filling chapter after chapter of lengthy, poetic prayers, Jesus teaches the disciples this simple, childlike prayer. It is not a beautiful prayer, but it's filled with a kid demanding things from dad. That's what this prayer is. Daddy, give us what you got in heaven. Make your name holy here, Daddy. Bring your kingdom come here, Daddy. Do what you have to do to make this place look like where you are, Daddy. Fill me with manna from heaven today, Daddy. Keep me from falling into the pits of the world, Daddy. Rescue me from bad guys, Daddy. This isn't poetry. This is pleading and practical heaven speak, and no one sees it. But the one part of the prayer, friends, that's different from the rest of the prayer is the demand about forgiveness. Throughout the prayer, you see that prayer being about let earth look like heaven. Let this place look like that place is what that prayer is all about, except in one spot. And where do you see it? In the demand about forgiveness. In this case, the child praying is asking heaven to look like earth. Forgive me the way I forgive. He highlights this in verses 14 to 15. If you forgive people their sins on earth, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive people on earth, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. You need to let that reality sink in. We are asking heaven to supply us with forgiveness from heaven in the exact same way we're supplying it on earth to the people who have hurt us. Who haven't you forgiven? Jesus is clear that in our holding back forgiveness, in refusing to remove the guilt from someone who hurt us, heaven is holding back his forgiveness to us. Talk about going to the hidden places of our hearts. How's that for a pointed prayer? It should cause us to shred and burn every one of our resentment lists that we have against people. What are the places without windows, friends? If you think about it in our culture, where do you find places without windows? It's not great places, probably. They're typically places where something is happening that would be shameful for the public to see. Right? So why does Jesus encourage prayer in windowless places? He tells us in verse 6, because that's where your Father can see. That's what heaven is all about. Light invading dark places. There are folks I've known in my life who love to tell me about all their rich, impressive, and vibrant prayer lives. And I sometimes have a hard time hearing it. Why? Because it often doesn't seem like they're really telling me about a prayer life as much as they're vying for my approval or applause or awe. Wow. I want to respond honestly and say, I don't want to see your inner room. I don't want to see that room. Keep that door shut. That's between you and your Abba. I don't need to see that. But what I would love to see instead is a life that looks like the Lord's Prayer. A life hidden in heaven that's here on earth. A life of quiet love and service. A life of humble, holy living. A life of forgiveness that's abounding. That's what I'd love to see and hear about. A life that doesn't need man's applause, but has the smile of their Father given to them by Jesus on their face. Where you come out of that inner room with your Heavenly Father and you just look more like Him and less like you. So that when people see these good works that are coming out of you, they don't say, attaboy or attagirl. They say, glory be, that looks like God in heaven. Where's your inner room? Where's the place that no one sees you go except Abba, Father? Where you can talk to Him honestly, openly, without shame, without worrying about having the right words. That room without windows, that closed door is a doorway into heaven. Go there regularly and tell no one about it. And watch the world around you change as you bring heaven that you had in there into earth, which you live here. Father sees and rewards quiet care. He rewards private and pointed prayer. And finally, He rewards and sees clean hands and hair. Look at verses 16 to 18. The practice of fasting. Denying oneself food for the purpose of focusing more on God in heaven. That's the third mark of a devout life. The problem again with fasting, it's become a show. It's got the title, See the Devout Go Without. In verse 16, Jesus says with a reprimand, when you fast, don't become like the gloomy actors, for they make their face disfigured in order to be seen by the audience as fasting. But when you're fasting, wash your hair, wash your face, so that you will not be seen by the audience as fasting, but only by your Father. Look at this phrase, who is in the hidden place. No longer says, sees the hidden place. He's in the hidden place. We fast, one author writes, in order to generate, ironically, a hunger and a thirst for God. Fasting can give you a larger appetite for God. It's what the Puritans, they called it soul fattening. But fasting had become for the holiest of vows and a competition who could go the longest without, who could get the skinniest, like people who love to share their newfound fad diet. Fasting was being shared by the shape of people's face, sucking in their cheeks and putting on ashes, once again taking their place on the stage. And fasting for heaven looks nothing like this. A person hungering and thirsting for God is more satisfied with God in their fasting. They don't need to parade around to get people's approval because their empty stomach has directed them to the fullness of God in Jesus. Hide your physical hunger. You don't need it. Wash your hair. Wash your head. Because the Father in His fullness not only sees, but in verse 18, is present in the hidden place of fasting. Because here's the good news of all of this, friends. The reward of heaven is not a thing. It's a person. It's the Father. It's the Father who sees. That is our reward. If we lived our life from waking in the morning to laying our heads down at night, believing that the Father sees all of it, then everything changes. We get off of the stage of pleasing men for our own self-gratification and live freely in the eye of our audience of one. Martin Lloyd-Jones writes, there's no better way of living and trying to live the holy and sanctified life than to be constantly reminding ourselves that God sees us. When we wake up in the morning, we should immediately remind ourselves we are in the presence of God. It's not a bad thing to say to ourselves before we go any further throughout the whole day. Everything I do, everything I say, attempt, think, and imagine is going to be under your eye, God. You are going to be with me. You see everything. You know everything. There is nothing I can do or attempt that you are not fully aware of. You, God, see me. It would revolutionize our lives, he writes, if we always did that. We will only be as sanctified, as holy, as we are aware of God's ever-seeing sight. It might frighten you to believe that there are things you would prefer to remain hidden and out of God's sight. I don't want him to see everything. There are a lot of things that are shameful. Like the prominent man in the story that's told about him being given a message in his mailbox where he opened and it said, "All is found out." He flees town. God's seeing may cause you to want to leave town and run. But the God who sees everything is the same God who bleeds, who sent the answer to the Lord's prayer in a servant named Jesus. Heaven came to earth. The servant who, as Isaiah described, he had no form or majesty that we should applaud him. No beauty we should desire him or give him a thumbs up. He was despised, rejected, man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Men hide their faces from him, and we esteemed him not. Zero likes. And here's the hidden life. But he was pierced for our transgressions. Everything seen in the dark places. He was crushed for our iniquities, everything seen in the dark places. And upon him was the punishment in the dark places that brought us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. The hidden life is a life hidden in Christ, who charitably gave not 10% to help the poor, but gave his entire life for a broken world. Who privately prayed in a garden, "Thy will be done," and did it by taking on himself the punishment of sin. Who left the feast, the wedding feast of heaven, to empty himself and fast by becoming nothing on earth. Poured out his blood so that every one of our sins God sees could be forgiven and seen no more. Friends, this is the hidden life. Hide yourself in Christ. And as you do, hear the words of this audience of one, the voice of heaven declaring, "This is my child, and I am well pleased with them." My son got 3.5 million views, but as we've been driving and learning how to drive, I'm aware how much he longs for and desires just his dad's approval. Because he'll say that. We'll get out of the car and he'll tell mom, will go, "Hey, how'd it go?" And he'll say, "Dad didn't give me one compliment." He's listening for that audience of one saying, "Well done." And you, friends, hidden in Christ, have it. So hide in it. Make his well done your reward and your treasure. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your hidden life, Jesus' work, which every public approval rating was gone at the cross. But you were smiling. "This is my son, with whom I'm well pleased." He does the thing that no one likes or understands. And that is what pleases me. Help us, Father, to live hidden in Christ. Keep our mouths shut. Our left hand as far away from our right hand as possible, so that we don't even keep our own track list of how holy we are. May our lives be fixed and focused on you, Father, who see us. May you be our audience of one now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.